Welcome to Beyond the Screams. I'm your host today, Holly, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Patrick and Stephanie.
Hey.
Hello.
And today we're also joined by my sister, Frances. Frances has been a makeup artist for 12 years. She loves being involved in a variety of projects and is usually covered in blood and guts. Some of her works include working on Chicago Fire, at the Lyric Opera House of Chicago, and a bunch of indie movies. Her horror bible is Fangoria Magazine. Favorite horror movies include Halloween, The Evil Dead, and Fright Night. TV series that are highly inspiring are American Horror Story and True Blood.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing great. How are you doing, Frances?
Yes, we're super excited to have you. Me especially.
I'm ecstatic. And yeah. The fact that you just said that. Yeah. Surprise. No.
So we wanted to talk to you today because you have a background in special effects. This month we're highlighting special effects, everything it takes to do it, and all the magic that comes onto screen.
Get your notebooks out, guys. All right, let's do this.
Okay, so a little background. I was adopted, and Frances and I, just met. 2020 was a dumpster fire, but Frances and I got to meet, so that's pretty amazing.
It was an amazing time. Yes. It was under a full moon, and it was pretty cool.
And we have learned that we are both huge horror fans, from in the womb, we were horror fans.
Yeah, that was a horror womb.
Yeah.
Yes, you can thank.
Yeah. Thanks for those genetics. Yes. So when, what age and what was it that got you, gave you that spark of ooh, special effects. I'm interested in this.
Okay. So I think since I was a kid, I always had horror movies in my life, my mom, my grandmother, and my aunts and uncles and cousins. It was a huge family thing. It was more of watching movies, and it was a huge thing to have horror hosts. So huge, huge fans of Svengoolie and Elvira, Vampyra. And now, of course, with The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob and Darcy and Ernie, it's been brought back. But from then, it was just always in my life. I don't remember a time where it wasn't in my life. And it was fun. It was scary. It was fun. It was just goofy and it was gross. And, everybody closes their eyes and everybody, screams at the same time and everybody's having nightmares. And I think that's where it started off.
So. I mean, it's a shared group experience.
Yeah. And it's we're all in this together and we're all freaking out right now. I'll never forget when I first saw The Exorcist. I think I was about six. My cousin saw it. She was older than me. And after the movie, she lived downstairs. So she went downstairs screaming and freaking out, and everybody went to check on her and left me in upstairs alone with the credits playing. So I think that was the time when I was that's going to happen for you for the rest of your life.
I love how The Exorcist has become that movie where it's you show young kids to scare them. It's become the unanimous, oh, you've never really watched horror movies?
Right.
Let's just put The Exorcist on.
Yeah, let's just start off with this one and go from there.
Yeah, I remember my mom telling me, when I was, because I was little too when I saw it, and I remember her telling me, wow, yeah, I remember when it was in theaters, people got into car accidents on their way home. Are you sure you want to watch it?
Sure. Definitely. The whole movie, the horror host and movie genre itself. And then as I got older, Halloween makeup was a huge thing for me. Halloween time was a huge deal for us in our home. And it was, again, it was a big family thing. So playing with the makeup and obsessing over the looks and the, click here, 1, 2, 3, all these little tabs. And you can just always look at the next step of doing makeup. So I think that was the first start. And then as I got older, it wasn't popular to go to school, especially for girls. I grew up reading Fangoria magazine. That was a huge staple. That was the eye opener. Mm-hmm. Once I got my hands on that magazine, it was the issue I remember, my first one was the Lost Boys issue. Mm-hmm. And so after that, I was hooked. And I was like, this is awesome. It's gross. It's disgusting. You didn't know if you were supposed to look at that or not. So it was one of those taboos. It just started from there. As I got older, I just went through life. You know, I owned a restaurant. I was like gypsying jobs. One day as I was at my restaurant, I was like, you know what? I was looking at the new Fangorias. And I was like, I got to do this. It's time. Let me just try it. So packed up, sold. And I went to school and the rest is history. So it's been a long journey, but it's been really cool.
Yeah, you and I almost went to Tom Savini school like the same year. That would have been crazy. Like, not, yeah, just like not knowing you. And then like all of a sudden, like, hey, wait, are we sisters?
What? Oh, what?
Did you say that you had not gone to Tom Savini school, but you went to a different school?
I did. I went to a local school. I went to beauty school first. Mm-hmm. And when I decided to do this, I was like, let me start from scratch. Let me go and learn, like, this is a brush and this is what you do with this brush. And this is a color and this is a palette and this is that. Mm-hmm. And so I went through that entire process of learning beauty makeup. And I became a teacher and I was working, you know, small gigs and at like beauty stores and all that. And then I finally got the courage to just go for it. And I was like, well, it's now or never. Let's just do it. So I went to school and just started from scratch. You know, this is clay and this is a sculpting tool and this is an airbrush. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a long journey and you can always learn, you know, if you're not able to go to a school, you can always learn online. There's online schools. It's huge now. It's a huge community. So you can definitely, you know, learn somehow. The only thing I recommend is to learn and like know what you're learning and understand, like, there are safety precautions. So as long as you're safe about it, you know, that's a huge deal.
Right. Yeah. Because you have like chemicals that you're working with. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, you know, if you're in a closed space and you're airbrushing all day, if you pass out, well, you know why, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finding it out that way, yeah. You know.
Hearing all those like horror stories of, you know, artists like, well, we painted her gold and then she died and we don't know what happened, but we spray painted her, you know?
She looks amazing.
Yeah, or from a recent movie, we talked about the special effect in The Thing. Rob Bottin, he was experimenting because he wanted to accomplish his ideas. And one of the scenes where a character is on a table and his head is expanding like off the table, there's fire. And during that, they had an explosion while filming because Rob was using like turpentine and all sorts, like pretty much anything he could find to create the look, and not knowing that it's all very highly flammable. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And it's like, well, we learned a hard way, but still has one arm. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, everyone's safe? Okay, good.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's why they have insurance on set.
Yeah. Or
you
sign a waiver. Like, we're not responsible. So, you know, it's if your arm blows off, we'll just pick up the pieces and go from there.
So which medium do you gravitate toward most? Like, do you like airbrushing or like application or mold making? What's your thing?
I like application. I like the hands-on. I love to paint. Sculpting isn't my strongest, but I do like the sculpt. I'll do a little bit of everything. I have to switch it up or I'm one that gets bored right away. So if I'm, you know, sculpting something, I'll just toss it to the side and start doing airbrushing and, you know, and any work I get, you know, if I can get my hands on someone, if someone is willing to sit in my chair and sit there and take it, you know, I'm just happy. So yeah. I'd rather do application, but it's hard right now during these, you know, hard times of life. So sculpting, well, it's good because you start learning new projects and, you know, mm-hmm. airbrush and all that. It also depends on the weather because I work out of my home. It's a little harder to do a lot of molding without having the windows open and, you know, things in that manner. So I tend to switch on and off depending on just timing. But application is my thing. I'd love to be hands-on.
Yeah. I know that you know, do stuff at home and, you know, practice. What does your workspace at home look like?
Ugh. Taking over everything. it's really small. If you can see in the back of me, and I know everybody won't be able to see this, but I have a table where it's a big mirror with lighting. Lighting is super important when you're doing makeup. It's probably one of the most important things, because if you don't have lighting, you can't see anything. So there's a station where I can do application, and I have a huge table and all my supplies and drawers. And then on the other side of me, I have a sculpting table. So that is just left there to sculpt. My tools are there and I can pick it up when I can. And then where I'm facing now is a blank table. So whatever other projects I have, I can like just keep it here. I do live alone, so it's easy for me just to leave my mess there and not worry about it. Sometimes if it's there too long, I just kind of cover it with like a sheet or something, and it's like, let's not look at that right now.
Oh, sweep it under the rug and
basically,
just out of sight, out of mind for a bit. Yeah.
Exactly. I have a indie short coming up, and my partner, my friend Brandon, and I been working on a severed head. So the entire COVID was just sitting on my table. And when I would wake up, and I use my big dining room and living room space for working. When I woke up, you know, it's like, I look at this head and it's like, you look like I feel right now. So he's in a bin now, because it was getting a little depressing.
During COVID, if I had a fake head sitting on my table, I'd be scared. At one point, I'd just start talking to it and it would talk back.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Joe, what's new? And all of a sudden, Joe's mouth starts opening and you're like, no way.
You're like, I didn't put animatronics in this.
Yeah. I also have a lot of my artwork in my hallway area. I have a shelf and I took it down because, like, if I have servicemen or something, they just look at it. This guy was just looking at this arm I had. And he just looked at me and I said, I'm an artist. And he's like, I hope so. He says, wow, this is crazy. It's like, so I took it out of the hallway. So it started growing and taking over. So I had to condense it in more of the dining room, living room area, you know, and then sometimes I work with my friend or whoever has a spot, you know, a garage I can borrow or something. That's what I'm using. But I was planning on getting a little space for myself to work, or like I was thinking of if I bought a home next year, that like my whole basement could be, you know, my workspace.
Yeah.
You know, something convenient where I can get fresh air and, you know, lay all my things down and not destroy an entire, you know, place. So
space for an artist is rough.
Yes, it is.
This room is like, it's supposed to be like my art podcasting space, and now that Victor is doing school remotely, it's like, well, this is his school area. So now I've gone into the kitchen where, you know, everybody is there and everybody is touching everything. So I'm like,
yeah, and it's like, don't touch that, I'm working on it. And it's like, it's got dust on that, you know. And it's like, but I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I'm working on it in my head.
Yes, it's being created as we speak.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep it out, and I keep like all my autographs and pictures and things out, and it looks like a little like trash horror area, but it's my spot, because once I sit in this spot, turn on some music, I'm ready to go. I'm focused. I'm in it, you know, and nothing around me is in the way anymore. You know, I'm in my own zone.
Yeah.
And even before COVID, it was funny because I, you know, you can sit there as an artist, no matter what kind, for hours and hours and, you know, and keep going. And once I was in a class and I was doing a full head mask, and I think I sat there like for 24 hours straight, and I was like, I'm bleeding now, and, you know, it's time to go to bed, you know. So I'm used to that. So it wasn't too hard at first to be in quarantine, because I was just doing my own thing like as normal. But, you know, it gets harder and harder as it goes, because it's like, I am tired of looking at this head. I need to get out of here.
Yeah. So, I need a non-severed head to look at.
Yeah, he's in a bin. I'm like really angry at him. So like, I can't look at you anymore.
So what kind of projects have you worked on, either indie or if you've worked on like big studio things? What like notable things have you done?
I've done music videos. I've done a few music videos. Sometimes I do basic makeup. Sometimes I do beards or a full look. there was a rapper I knew, and he had me create him like a bum. And it was really cool because, you know, he had a whole outfit, and I'm like, you don't look like a bum. You just look like a rapper. So I created a whole bum out of him. So it was really, he's like, I feel like a bum. I'm like, you're getting into character. So that was really cool because, like, he just let me do what I wanted to do. That was a good one. I recently just found out that one of my director friends, Luke, he did a short called Scared, and he just completed it. It was from 2019, so I worked on that. I was more of like an FX coordinator, lots of blood. Mm-hmm. So that got submitted to some festivals, so I'm rooting for him. Yeah.
It's called Scared?
It's called Scared. I hope I can say it. I just blew it.
Double check and we'll cut it out if you have to.
Yeah. No, keep it. I'm proud of that one. So that's going to get submitted. So I'm sure, you know, it'll come out soon. And I'll send you guys the link to watch that one. My first indie horror movie was called Mutilation Massacre. So friend Brandon and I worked on our first severed head for that one. And it came out really cool. There's some pictures on my Instagram on that one. And the movie ended up getting a first runner-up for hardcore horror FX. That was a problem.
Nice.
And because it was our first one, you know, even though we were just runner-up, that was pretty cool. You know, that was good. You know, we did it. So, yeah, that one I'm really proud of. And
I'm guessing a lot of blood in that one as well.
A lot of blood on that one. We ran out of, you know, there was times where you just got to make it up as you go along. And we did a scene in a grocery store and we ran out of blood and there was a little cafe and we're like, grab some honey and grab this and grab that and grab some.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah. Hershey syrup. And we just made blood on the spot. Like, go, you know,
awesome. Low budget. Yeah. Pulling out that creativity.
Yeah, we gotta do. Yeah, go to McDonald's and grab some sugar, and you know, it's just a weird thing. Sometimes you gotta do, you know, like whatever's at hand. So
yeah,
it was pretty fun.
Do you have like a random, random pictures of like cuts and bruises on your phone for reference? Yeah, it's like, oh, that's a really cool bruise. Let me take a picture.
You know, it's funny to say that, but it's called a morgue on my iPad, and all my friends and family send me pictures when they get hurt.
That's amazing.
Or I get random, like, I got a random picture from an old manager I had out of the blue, and it was like, hey, hope all is well. Here's a picture of my girlfriend that got bit by a dog. And I'm like, thank you, it's beautiful. Sorry.
So if anybody gets hurt, please send your pictures to
send pictures, text message, tweets, you know, whatever you have, I will accept them. Like, you can't get the real thing sometimes. You can look it up on the internet all day long, but you don't really know sometimes what you're looking at. So if you don't have good reference books, I want the real thing. Like, just send me the pictures, you know. My poor cousin Mike. Mike Jan, I'm giving you a shout out. He fell off his bike, and I was like, can I have those pictures? And he sent them all to me, so, you know, I appreciate that.
any emergency nurses out there with atrocity?
I'm telling you, just, you know, tag it, whatever it is, and let me know it's real, please. So.
Now, you said, you know, you keep those pictures on your phone for inspiration. Are there any, like, movies that you kind of go back to and watch because you like the special effects of them? Like, you know, you're just like, oh, I'm going to watch Beetlejuice 1,000 times because, you know, the makeup's great.
Definitely. Well, first off, if anyone ever finds my phone, don't look at it or don't judge me because there's a lot of weird stuff on that phone. Don't, please. And as far as movies, definitely. Even sometimes, depending on the project, I will absorb in that, you know, realm. So if it's guts or blood and guts, you know, any kind of gruesome gore, I'm going to Savini. I'm going, you know, to some movies that have all those effects. Day of the Dead is one of the best for any kind of makeup effects. It is timeless. I know a lot of people are like, I never seen that movie. And it's like, do not call yourself a horror fan if you have not seen those movies. So
I would hope most of our fans have seen that movie.
I hope so. Yeah. If not, I highly recommend it. And, you know, it's a stylized zombie. You know, Romero has a type of zombie, you know. Savini, you know, all the greats, you know, Greg Nicotero, they all have their versions. So it just depends on what the style of whatever the project is. And that's what I go to. I lean towards more of the older movies than the newer ones, just because those are the staples. Rick Baker's American Werewolf in London will always be a huge part of my life. When I graduated high school, my aunt took me to Disney, and they had a little like horror show. And in that section was the transformations of the werewolves.
Oh, cool.
It was so amazing. That's when I said, I have to do this. This is when the spark, this is the moment. I was in the audience and they had like the fly pods and they had all these little different types of movements and they had that transformation. They turned that sucker on and it just transformed. And I was like, how do I make this as a career? What do I have to do? And at that time, again, no girls, no schools, no this. And here I am, you know, so it's possible if you want it. But that was the spark. Once I saw that, I was like, that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. I don't care how. Yeah. I don't care if I make money. I don't care what it is. I have to do it. Because if I don't get to do that, then I'm not going to be happy with anything. Mm-hmm. So that one's a huge one. And Jack's makeup from that movie is probably one of my top two makeups of all time. Jack, when he sees David for the first time and he tells him he's a werewolf and he has this gnarly neck, that's so badass. It's like dangly and all these cool bits. That is the makeup of all makeups right there.
Yeah, nowadays you're fighting with CGI taking over, like stuff like that, which is so sad. But you know, the indie scene is just coming out with great effects right now.
Oh yeah. Have you guys seen the movie Terrifier?
Yeah.
That is jam-packed with awesome.
Yes. It was
I almost like gave it a standing ovation with tears in my eyes.
I know. Like I'm like, you know, I gravitate toward like movies that have like a good story, like these really like layered characters. But if you give me a good gore fest and it looks good, I don't care if the story makes sense at all. I'll watch it.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what just happened, and I don't know who this woman is, but sawing that girl in half was just amazing.
Yeah.
those are good ones.
You had mentioned that you were going to make a career out of this if you made money or not. I imagine you have to take jobs to pay the bills where you're like, I just got to do this basic thing. Like, how do you support yourself being special effects makeup artist? Like, what's the fun stuff, but then the annoying stuff that you have to take? Not that it's annoying, but I'm sure there's like a balance out there.
Definitely, because whatever job I've taken, and I've always had a second job. When I first started this off, I had more than one job. And sometimes that's how you gotta hustle. If whatever it is you're going to do, you have to make it happen. You have to sacrifice. You got to give it your all also. And it's hard when you want to give it your all and you have to do your laundry and pay the bills. You know, that's just what it is. So right. You're hungry. You got to eat. You got to cook, you know. But there are jobs out there that will be like, well, the only thing we can pay you is word of mouth. And it's like, ugh, you know, like, how can I do that? But when you start off, you have to take what you can get the experience. And so because I was working other jobs, I took it and I sacrificed, you know, I have to take a day off of work and do this for nothing. But it was a good thing because I either met someone or I learned something or you just had a great experience. And then it pumps you up for the next one and the next one. And fortunately, now I'm in a career where this is my only job and I am okay. COVID or no COVID, I'm still okay. So it will grow. But you do have to pick and choose. And you can't always think, I'm only worth X amount of dollars. Because sometimes it's like, well, if I didn't take one project, I wouldn't have gotten the other four. So sometimes you have to do that. You know, it's a risk and it's going to take everything you got. And it's up to you if you want it that bad or not. So, you know, I started off and I climbed my way to where I am. And I only have one job, and that is a makeup artist. Whether I do beauty makeup, creative makeup, FX, blood, gore, whatever, I'm taking it. And that's what I do. And I'm very proud of it because a lot of artists want, and a lot of people told me, you have to choose. You can't be both beauty and FX. You can't have both. I quit my teaching job because my boss told me I could not do both. I had to pick. And I said, fuck you. I'm doing what I want to do. And that's what I did.
My sister. Yeah, I love you.
You're like, fuck you, throwing fake blood on him.
Right. Shaking a fake hand around like, uh-uh.
Yeah, I told her, you know what? No one's going to stop me from what I'm going to do. And if you want to burn this bridge, this is your bridge to burn. And I let that baby burn, and here I am. So it was either that or do what people wanted me to do or were telling me to do. And, of course, me, I'm not going to listen to anybody but me. So hard-headed Holly. Yeah. So because of that, anyone that knows me is pretty much going to know, well, no one's going to tell her no. And she's just not going to bow down that easy. So I climbed, and it was a tough road. And everybody told me I wasn't going to do it. And everybody said, you know, Halloween only comes once a year. Or how are you going to make a living? That's not a real job. So I heard it all, but you're either going to listen to that or you're just going to keep going. So, and I'm not the type to just listen. So,
do you think it was harder? Well, I mean, I know it was, but I know it was harder for you being a woman, being in the industry, but do you feel like it was ever like very like blatant and like in your face that like, oh, I have to work much harder to do this?
Definitely. And especially on certain projects where I felt like, they took one look at me and said, oh, this isn't going to work. You know, it was like, and, you know, I'm ready for the job. I'm not going to go in heels and I'm not going to be all dolled up as a beauty thing. You know, if I'm going to get, you know, bloody and dirty and sweaty, I'm there for that job. But some people just take a look at you and just think you're a joke. And I just kept going. I don't care what they think. It's either you hired me and let me do what I have to do. And I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to give you exactly what you're looking for, not what I think, unless you're asking for my opinion. You know, the one thing I learned is, for me, I know my place. I have nothing to prove but my hard work. So for me, I'm going to give it my all regardless. Some will look at me. And when I'm picking up, you know, 50 pounds of, you know, clay or plaster or blood and guts, and I'm dragging a body, whatever, I'm going to do it because that's what I wanted to do. That's what I signed up to do. So that's, you know, it is sometimes like that. I feel like Chicago, there's a lot of females out there that are FX artists, which is amazing. This is an amazing time to be in your industry, you know, whatever it is, as a woman, because it doesn't matter anymore, you know? And again, if you have your mentality of, I know what I have to bring to this table, it's not going to matter what other people think. You know, I even had actors and actresses were like, at the end of it, like, you know, I really appreciate it. Thank you. You made this experience great. So sometimes you just got to give it your all and not even think about that. But there has been times where I know I have worked extra hard and pulled extra weight. And at the end of the day, I just said I had to do it and I had something to prove and I had to give it my all. So, this is what I'm here for. And it happens more often, more than not, you know,
but,
you know, in my head, it's like, at this time, just do what you got to do. If you have, you know, if you're just going to take it for granted or take it for the ride, if that's you, that's your name, that's your work, you know, it's about ethic. It's not just talent. It's about, you know, what you're bringing, what kind of respect are you showing? So sometimes you just really got to give them that and put your feelings aside. And then when you get home, you're like, damn mother.
and you know, it also sucks because, you know, you have to give 120%, 200% because, you know, those are the people that could give you that next job. So you have to do it. It's like, oh, I have to like kind of bite my tongue and do this, which I get word mouth spreads you around, but it sucks.
It does. I mean, yeah. And obviously, you know, like nowadays with social media, anybody can tear you up. You know, it's unfortunate that anybody's word about you means more to people than your own word and you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you just got to prepare for that. You know, I think that's unfortunate if people are having a bad day or an emotional moment and they destroy another person's name. But it happens, and you just got to keep going. You got to give it whatever it is that you want to give. That's what you have to give, because at the end of the day, that's how you're going to sleep at night.
Yeah.
You said you had autographs behind you, or you kept like autographs. Now, do you get those autographs from the set? Like when you meet someone, you just kind of ask them for their autograph?
No, I wouldn't.
No. Well, my grandfather used to be a chef for the film, like for movies, and he would always do that. He'd be like, give me your autograph.
Oh, that's cool.
Just huge book of like signatures from.
Do you want me to not spit in your food? Sign my book.
I wish, but when I'm on set, it's totally different. It's like,
yeah,
you know who they are, and then that fades away. You know, that whole like, oh my God, you know, you do get starstruck. And it's like, wow, this is pretty cool. And after a while, you just respect the boundary and you know that this is your coworker and we're in this. So I have not yet gotten any autographs and barely any pictures of people together unless it's like a group photo. But I have met a lot of cool people at conventions. Linda Blair, she's amazing, of course, and she's beautiful and, you know, keep going on and on. And, my bucket list, I actually met Elvira. Cassandra Pugner.
Yes. She's so sweet.
She's amazing. And when I met her, of course, I'm all like, yee ha ha, you know, giddy, and I couldn't talk. And so she, as I was talking to her, telling her how much I loved her, she stopped me and said, your makeup is beautiful. And so I was like, bucket list, I can die now. I can die.
Yeah.
Well, Elvira once commented on my makeup and signed my picture and was talking to me about being a teacher and a makeup artist. That was it.
That's great.
It doesn't even matter who else I met. But that was the best one. It was so meaningful. Elvira's the queen. Everybody knows.
Do you ever like to be on screen, or are you strictly a behind the scenes?
No, I hate this.
Oh, I'm with you. I hate being filmed.
I am in a very equal, like, I love both sides equally, because when I went into high school, I thought, like, well, my path for myself that I thought I wanted, I was like, I'm going to be an actor. And so when I went to high school, like, I joined theater and everything, and my director, she told all the freshmen, like, if you're going to be in theater, if you want to be an actor, I highly recommend you join crew so you understand how theater works and how these separate teams have to come together and make a cohesive thing. Like, you have to have that separate time, but you also have to learn how to communicate together. And I was like, sure, yeah, sign me up. I fell in love with, like, the behind the scenes, everything involved with it, the makeup, building sets, the costuming, the research, all of it. And I loved it as much as being on stage or on screen. And I'm like, if I can do both, it's like, if I could, like, go and, like, fix somebody's makeup, and it's like, hell, you have to be, like, you're on soon. It's like, yes, but let me just fix this really quick. Like, I would love to do both. Constantly.
I went to a convention. Well, I was working at a convention when Mutilation Massacre came out, and I was at the booth, and a lot of people were coming up to me, talking to me, and I'm like, why are they talking to me? And it's like, duh, I have this human head right in front of me, you know? It's like, and they're like, can we take pictures? And I'm like, I guess, like, I don't know, you know, autograph, this is creepy, you know?
Yeah.
But it is, you're right, you it is good to know the other side, like, for makeup applications, I've done a lot of all the process on myself and had people do it on me. So I know exactly what it is that they're going through, especially like life casting and, you know, a lot of adhesives and all this stuff. So I have to put myself through all the torture I'm putting in through, you know, for other people.
Yeah.
And especially when you're working, if you ever work a haunted house, it is good to do both the acting and the makeup. If you can, because you realize like how much it takes, you know, and what it looks like, and do you sweat a lot, and the makeup's gonna, you know, so it kind of goes hand in hand. But I did work at the Rob Zombie Great American Nightmare in Villa Park, Illinois, and that was a really fun experience. There's a ton of amazing artists that work there. They were so nice, and they were very welcoming, and they were not afraid to share their secrets. It was an amazing experience. And then I got into makeup and masks and all this craziness and got in there with them. And it took a lot. It was a lot of work. So it is good to go ahead and try to put yourself in there if you can, as much as possible, just so you do know, you know, what they're going through, what you're going through. Because I don't think a lot of people realize how much it takes to get into a character or whatever it is, wear a mask for X amount of hours. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Be Angelica Houston in The Witches and sit in a chair for 6 to 7 hours to put on the makeup.
Yeah.
Go act. Mm-hmm.
And then an additional 5 to take it off. It's like, holy
God. What's the longest you've done makeup on someone? Like, you know, how long have you had to force someone to sit in a chair to apply makeup to them?
It depends. Like, if you're at my place, you're going to be here for a while. Because I'm going to do it over and over until your skin is raw. If you're in my chair, I'm taking advantage. I probably will buy you pizza at the end of it, but you're definitely going to take it to eating. So, like, I've had people at my place for, like, all day, and they're like, are you done? It's like, no, there's a bone in the back of you, and there's this, and, you know. But I think, like, 2 hours, maybe, for some makeups. And then, of course, touch-ups and things. It is, you know, especially if it's body work, you know, if you're doing full body, or if you're applying, you know, some kind of prosthetic, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, there's a lot of factors in makeup that you have to take, like environment, you know, skin, you know, like all kinds of things. So it's, you know, it's a difficult road if you don't have the necessary materials for it too.
How do you get your materials? If like somebody wanted to start practicing at home on themselves, like what do you suggest?
Depends on what kind of makeup you're going to do. If you're going to do application, there's a lot of stores online, professional stores, Friends Beauty, and there's a list I can give you guys. But there's a lot of places where you can order supplies. I just ordered a few things from the Makeup Armory, and they're not in the U.S., and you will pay a lot of shipping, but if you want these materials, you can get this. Also, local, Reynolds Advanced Materials is a wonderful place to get things for life casting and silicones, and they have all these different, it's not a lot of application materials, but there are hardcore materials, so you can create arms and legs and all, whatever you need. They're very knowledgeable there. They're super nice. They're at a lot of conventions also. And you can call or walk in, and they're gracious. They're wonderful people. They'll help you out and get you what you need. I have a ton of their products back there. And you just got to look online, but you got to be willing to pay shipping, unfortunately. But, you know, it is what it is. They really don't sell this stuff anywhere. Fantasy Costume is another place, Chicago Costume. They have good like latex and adhesives and brands that you can use. So when you're in this kind of business, you have to do a lot of research. You have to find out. You have to ask. You have to, you know, it's okay to ask. Everybody's afraid to ask nowadays. because they don't want to look stupid or they don't know. But that's the only way you do know. And you don't know, you know, some people are willing to give you even more information. You know, some people will, like, I'm not telling them, let them do their own work. But, you know, some people just don't care. And they'll just be like, here, try this.
Yeah.
I'll give you guys a list for sure.
So yeah, that'd be awesome.
Inquiring, I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, I can imagine. And similar to like any industry, that there is competition and you have friends who will help support you and have a sense of community. But are there other folks out there that are just like borderline will sabotage you?
There's definitely friends and there's definitely foes. I'm grateful to have really good friends that are supportive, that are in the same boat, that you can come to if you're having trouble or if you're uninspired. And then there are a few people out there where they can't wait for you to crash and burn. And that's unfortunate because, you know, this industry can grow more and more for all ages and sizes and whatever, if you let it grow. And the only way to let it grow is if you have more people. You know, a lot of people are like, it's small, let's just keep the work for ourselves or whatever. You know, I mean, I get it. Like, I get it. Like, you know, people are hungry. They want it, you know, and they gotta, you know, keep it. But for me, it's just a big, awesome experience. I'm 43 years old. So for me, like, I'm on a different plateau. I'm not just starting off. I live life. I've done this. So for me, it's just a really cool experience. Like, I never thought in my life, in my 20s, I never thought I was going to be able to do this. So I just take it for the ride it is. And if there's anyone out there that needs a little inspiration, I'll give them the truth. You know, some people will ask you, can I have all your resources? And it's like, I worked hard for that and you have to earn that. And if I just hand it to you, I'm actually cheating you from getting all your own experiences and things. Sometimes you just got to tell people that, you know, if you're straight with people, I think people understand that. Fortunately, I have some really good people. You know, I have some really cool people that are backing me up and are there. And I'm not ashamed to be like, I don't know how to do this. Please help me.
Yeah.
So there are people out there. You know, you just got to be careful who you're trusting and who you're telling what to.
Yeah. Before we like wrap up, I was going to ask you what your biggest accomplishment has been, but I'm going to say it for you. And I'm just like, just your optimism and like the way that you have pushed yourself and not letting other influence, like at those outside influences, like tell you that you can't do this. Cause that takes a lot of strength to push back and say, you know what? Yes, I can. Even if you get to a certain point and like you tried, you did it. If you stop at a point and say, you know what, maybe this isn't for me, or maybe I've, you know, reached the limit at what I want to do or what I feel I can do, you know, you did it and you tried. And I think that's freaking amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's hard. It can get really hard. It can get really dark when people are telling you, you can't, because you start believing that. And, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, do I follow my heart? Do I follow my brain? Because my brain's telling me, don't do this, run away now. This is going to be hard. Or am I just going to dig my hands in that clay and just go, you know? And that's just the type of person I am. So I'm just going to keep going and go for the ride and wait for that big Rob Zombie moment.
Yeah.
The eye on the prize.
Rob Zombie, hire my sister and sponsor us.
Yeah, when I first started doing gigs, I said, I got to do something Rob Zombie, because Rob Zombie's the master. So when that Haunted House came in, it was like, this is Rob Zombie. So I inquired and got in, and it was Rob Zombie's world. And it was like, I got to see the concert and everything. And that was the moment where I was like, I can do this. This is, I just said, this is what I wanted, and I got to do that. So I'm saying it again. Rob, I'm waiting. Anything. I'll clean the blood. I don't care.
you know, put it, you got to manifest it, put it out into the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust me. Yeah. Seriously. Bill Moseley, I'm waiting.
DM him on Instagram every day until he responds.
I'll help you. There's a lot of awesome horror people out there on social media. They spark me, you know, I'm ready to go. And I see those tweets and, you know, all those little Instagrams. It's like, let's do this. Keep going. This is amazing. You know? Yeah. So I'm waiting.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's coming.
Frances, where can people find you and all of your work, your portfolio?
Instagram. It's Frances, F-R-A-N-C-E-S, M dot makeup. Or on Twitter is MZ Frances FX. I am on Facebook, but I'm a little shy on the Facebook because of all the crazies. But, you know, yeah. You know, you guys eat awesome food, but I don't want to see it. So, Frances Melosi on Facebook. If anyone ever wants to inquire anything, just message me somehow and I'll send it to you.
Well, Frances, thank you so, so much for joining us. This has been amazing talking with you and yeah, sharing my sister with everybody.
Yeah, it's my super sister. Proud of you.
Yeah, I know, right?
2020, I'm sorry, yeah. But if that was what I got 2020, I'll take it.
Me too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's so awesome to hear from a woman in a male-dominated industry because, yeah, the self-doubt that women naturally have. And then when you walk into a room and you see everyone giving you the elevator eyes, it's just, it's so hard to compete with that and find the inner confidence. So it's been so awesome to hear from you to be like, forget all those.
Yeah. Game on. Yeah. Do this.
Yeah. And we have Women in Horror Month coming up in February. So look at especially independent movies and these low budget movies and check out the women who are involved in that.
Definitely. You know, there's always some cool horror women out there.
Liking, sharing, subscribing to stuff like that is super duper helpful.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely. Definitely. Got to be there for each other. It's the only way it happens.
Society Absolutely. Loves to pit women against each other.
Yeah.
No, we're here for each other. Fuck that. Yeah.
I'm picking you up. I'm dragging you with me. I'm going to drag you.
Drag you like this dead, this like fake body.
And I'll make you look good while I'm doing it too.
Yeah. With some blood, here's a little dirt. We're good to go. And let me fix your lipstick while I'm there.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you again so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to this amazing interview with Frances. Make sure to like and subscribe, download, share. All the support is super appreciated.
I thought you said download, share, like shares music.
Also do that.
People should also do that.
Yes. And please rate and comment. And subscribe on iTunes. The rating on iTunes really helps us out. Giving us those 5 stars.
You can find us on beyondthescreams.com where you can sign up for our newsletter to keep up to date on any of our fun happenings. You can find us on Facebook, Beyond the Screams Podcast. We have a really fun group where we talk all things horror. We get to share what other horror creators are creating. That concludes our month about special effects. It was a short month, so not to say special effects only gets 3 episodes, but there is so much that we could talk about.
Also, it's really hard to write a story about special effects.
Yes, it's very hard.
To be honest.
In February, we are going to focus on obsessions.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh.